All right, everyone, welcome back. Another episode, episode 25 of Fundamentally Sound Podcast. Your host, as always, Reeks from Barstool, Ben Bruss, former Wisconsin player. Ben, what's going on, man?
Not too much, Bobby. Another day, another dollar. I guess for me, since I'm not working, not another dollar.
Another dollar for me, but yeah. when you're parlaying some Eurobasket like I was today.
See, I haven't even been able to sit down and watch any of that. Has it been a good tournament?
Yeah, it's been entertaining. I've been watching a lot to see guys like Luka Doncic and Kristaps, obviously, and like both Bogdanoviches, one from Croatia, one from Serbia, and even you
see
know,
it's... when the FIBA like the World Championships were on, when the USA was in that, I was glued to it.
Well, yeah,
but
that's the whole world.
When the USA's out of it, like obviously it's Eurobasket for a reason and it's a big tournament for them, but I'm USA or nothing. There's something about it. Like if I have no vested American interest, it's hard for me to watch.
Sure, I get that, but like it's easy when there's big names involved too. Like I've wanted to watch Slovenia. A, they play like they're a super fun team to watch. They get up and down. They have guys like Goran Dragic, Doncic, Luka Doncic, who I mentioned, and Anthony Randolph's on that team.
I love the random Americans that get the citizenship.
Yeah, like Jamar Wilson was playing for Finland.
My former teammate Mike Dixon was playing for Georgia.
Was he playing for Georgia? I didn't see. He wasn't on this roster, but he must have been in the past.
I saw it on your roster.
Or was he on the roster? I've had to catch a lot of Georgia games. I caught their first one, but I didn't have the sound on, so I wasn't really paying attention. There's a bunch of weird ones, like not weird ones, but funny ones like that where you're like, wait, that guy is playing for this country? It's like, you know, he's born in like Kansas.
Well, let me ask you this. Like if you had that opportunity, would you do it?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think if you don't have a chance to make Team USA and you spend a decent amount of time in another country, I absolutely would do it. Or if you have ties, you know, like a parent is born in or, you know, not necessarily just born in, but it's from, you know, Slovenia. And, okay, well, I can't play for Team USA, but guess what? I'm also half Slovenian. I'd go play for them.
Well, that's my thing. I was going to say I'd have to have been there and played for at least 5 years in the country and immersed myself into the culture and really, like, have felt like I deserve to be on the team and had, like, an emotional interest, not just, like, deserving basketball-wise, but, like, I don't know. Like, I played 1 year in Lithuania, and I never felt like I should, like, could have, like, played for the Lithuanian national team even if they wanted me to. You know what I mean? I would have been like, right. No, USA all the way. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think it's a case-by-case basis because, you know, there are times where –
unless they pay me.
Right. But there are times where you're there for like 2 to 3 years and you just completely immerse yourself in the culture and the country and everything like that. And it feels like home. So it's like, well, shit, this is home. Why not just go play for them?
Speaking of paying me, did you know about this, like, this thing? If you played college basketball from like 2010 to 2016 or something, like there's guys filing for like some claim. And Jared Bergeron texted me about it today. Like, people are getting paid $6,000 to $10,000 to, I think, for attendance costs or something. And I don't know what it is, but I have a pretty big check hopefully coming. If this thing goes through, I have no idea. I'll send you what it is after.
Did you hear about it? No, I haven't. I want to look into that. So I just assume your boy Frank's leading the charge on that.
He's not. But I tell you what, there is nothing funnier than the Frank Dokic thing. I love
it's
it.
So great.
I can't get enough of it.
It's perfect.
Even our guy Jordan Cornette called out Dokic.
Yeah, I saw that today.
But like again, I almost don't even want to say anything because I don't want to get roped into Dan Dokic tweeting at me because I really don't even care at this point about like what he thinks or what he's trying to talk about or
well,
have his
also
ego show
too because his thought process just isn't going to change.
Never. Yeah, so it's so set.
It's a one way argument.
Yep, you lost no matter what. Even if you make valid points, it's I did this. Here's the facts. Here's the facts. Here's the facts. Here's the facts. And I don't even want to deal with it. But again, Frank Dokic, I want more. I want all of it. I want all of it. I want Frank turning off the TV when he sees Dokic on there. I want Dokic calling Frank a stuck-up little baby because it's half true. Oh, I love it.
I just love Twitter arguments to begin with, because Twitter is one of the greatest inventions ever, and it's just entertaining to watch people go at it, especially when it's two people that are known, you know, not, I don't want to call them necessarily, quote, celebrities, but known people in, you know, not just people
in our world,
followers. Yeah.
In our world that, like, are kind of polar opposites. You got this 7-foot dorky, you know, national player of the year turned NBA pro, and a college basketball coach turned commentator that says whatever he can to get a stir out of people. Like, it's great. It's great TV in terms of Twitter talk. I don't know what that term would be. Great Twitter war. What's the good?
Yeah, I think it's just a Twitter spat.
Spat. We'll go whatever spat. It is. We can come up with our own name for that later. But episode 25, there's some intriguing names. I was actually pleasantly surprised at the number 25s that I was finding.
We agree, though. This is the worst college basketball number in the 20s, right?
It's blah. It's got a blah.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
You want to go first?
Well, I'm going to do... I'm doing this on purpose, strictly to see your reaction when I name random Kentucky players. So I'm gonna go with 2012 championship point guard Marcus Teague.
That's not really a random player. That stole money from the NBA. The fact that he was a first round draft pick is crazy.
But it's one where when you start, he was really good at Kentucky, and it's one when you start listing great players just in college at Kentucky, he's never mentioned because he didn't do anything in the pros. That's where I think it's random. But then I'll keep it in the SEC with Ben Simmons, and then recent graduate Alec Peters from Valparaiso.
I really like the Ben Simmons one just because, I don't know, there's something about watching him play in college, because that's really kind of the last time we remember watching him play, you know? Like,
last time we've seen him play.
Well,
like, he hasn't played summer league. He hasn't played in the NBA, obviously. He's not playing anywhere else. Like, the last time we've seen him was LSU.
Alec Peters. I mean, that's just kind of an interesting one that you mentioned. I found a good one. Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, because everyone remembers number one, Penny Hardaway.
Everyone remembers him with the magic, those cool pinstripe magic jerseys with the number one.
Yep.
I put Bill Cartwright in there just because he was on the Chicago Bulls team and a very average basketball coach. Robert Horry.
Yeah, he wore that with the Rockets, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got some NBA championships. I think he wore it with the Spurs 1 or 2 years potentially.
Yeah, because I know he wore 5 a lot for the Spurs.
And then Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr wore 25. Yeah.
I mean, great player at Arizona. Obviously known for the iconic shot that Michael passed him. That wasn't a three, by the way. Everyone thinks that one, that three that Kerr hit. No, he shot a weird mid-range jump shot. Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
It was like a 16-footer.
I don't know why he didn't space the floor.
Because it was the 90s and no one did that.
I know. I'm just like looking at him like, what a weird spot to stand nowadays. Right, people are like, where are you? Get out of there. So yeah, there's the 25s.
Yeah, it's a weird number. Like I said, I'm obviously 22 is my favorite, but then, you know, the 20s are strong. Like, 21 is a strong number. 23 is obviously a well-known number. Talk about 24. 25 needs Ben Simmons to be really good. Like, there's just not that staple person, or staple player to the number yet for 25.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I want to get to Jordan, even though I have some other stuff written down here. We can revisit a little more college-specific talk, like the transfer talk, and I want to send you the link to this thing we're getting paid on, or I don't know what it is. Just because I want to see if you think it's like, I don't know what the word would be, but if you like see that there's merit for it, So next we got Jordan Taylor coming on, one of my really, really good friends. Played with him for 2 years, keep in touch as much as possible when he's playing overseas. He bounces around everywhere. He's in New York. He is from Minnesota. But again, two-time All-American, All Big Ten, one of Wisconsin's best point guards of all time. I think he's up there with Tracy Webster, who's Wisconsin's all-time leading assist leader. And then I'll just put Jordan Taylor right there because I can't think of anyone at the top of my head, and I know a lot of Wisconsin basketball players that I would put ahead of him there. So this is our interview with Jordan Taylor. And here we are with one of my favorite people in the entire world. I'm going to say this while he's here. A two-time All-American, the All-Big Ten, and one of the best point guards in Wisconsin basketball history, Jordan Taylor, who's also going to say some clown shit on this interview. Welcome, Jordan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
On some of the topics that we talk about on the show a lot, but we can get to that later. Anything you want to just jump out? I know you're probably itching to say some stuff. We were talking back and forth a little bit before the show, and I had to hang up on you because I was like, I don't want to do the whole interview right now.
Yeah, you know, every time we get together, it's always some friendly banter that ends with me coming up with what I would call a W. But I guess before we get started, I do got to give a shout out to TJ Hayes because apparently he's the one who got me on the show. That's my man since I was at Wisconsin. He's a big Badger fan, so just got to do that.
You're only fan.
That's my only fan, number one fan. Still been boys for about, shoot, how long? Probably 6 years now, since my junior year. So yeah.
Yeah, I saw him like tweeting, kind of talking shit at me. Like I was like, I don't need another Jordan Taylor puppet in my ear. Like leave me alone.
I wasn't aware there were a lot of Jordan Taylor stands out there.
There's a couple left. There's a couple.
Just a like, couple diehards.
There's a couple who know I still played basketball at one point. I actually ran into a guy at a bar yesterday after the Vikings game, and like as you guys know, Ben, like once you're removed 6 years removed from college or 5 years, whatever it is, and obviously your name doesn't ring a bell as much. So this guy's sitting here talking, and he goes, "Oh yeah, like Wisconsin basketball." And there was this kid, Jordan Taylor. He was good too, and I'm just like, "Yeah, he was nice.
he was nice." Well, I mean, if you go to the Final Four and all, like if you make it that far, your name carries a little longer.
Facts. Big facts. That's true. We fell a couple shots short of that. I blame you still.
That's not possible. I played 1.8 seconds my freshman year when I had to go sub for you because you guys blew the game.
Right.
What game was that? That was the
That was Butler. I came in the last 1.8 seconds when, you know, they let the seniors come out and get their last hurrah.
Disgusting.
So this is a really good segue into our first question. Nice. Save that thought, whatever you got going on that big old noggin.
I will.
If you could redo one game, what would it be?
Man, that's tough. Probably. That's tough. I think I'd probably have to pick the Butler game. Just because I think we really had a chance. It was a wacky tournament that year. You know, VCU would beat Kansas on the other side. We would play Florida the next game. And it was one of those years where there wasn't really a clear-cut favorite. And I think, you know, the right kind of luck in things would have happened. We could have made a pretty deep run. And I think we played probably our worst game of the year at the wrong time.
So I know we were talking about this a little bit. Was it between Syracuse and Butler?
You know, Syracuse, I feel like we played about as good as we could have played. We shoot like 60% from three that game.
Shot like 63% from three. We didn't get one block charge call. CJ Fair is like a freshman, lit us up for like 24.
Yeah, that game, I feel like we played well, and I feel like we didn't execute the last play, and we were in a position to win, so I was more upset about that because it was my last game. But, you know, I feel like we were right there and we played about as good as we could have. Butler, I feel like we had probably That might have been one of the worst games I've been a part of at Wisconsin, aside from the 33-point Penn State debacle.
That was in the same year. For as good as that team was, that was a couple of games where it was like, oof.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks apart.
That was a bad Penn State team, too.
You know, no,
they were okay.
That was probably the best team they had.
Yeah, that was one of their better teams.
Taylor Battle was a senior. They had Tim Frazier. They had Jeff Brooks, who was playing well. They were solid that year. They went to the tournament that year.
Penn State did that year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They went. They were like a 10 seed.
Because they won that game, probably.
What year was it? Oh, that was
2010, 2011.
All right, I'm thinking of – never mind. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of before. I remember, ironically enough, that Wisconsin-Syracuse game. Like, I remember where I was watching that because I remember everyone just being like, we're going to watch a game with, like, a combined 45 possessions. Like, I just remember everyone blasting that game, just being like, no one wanted to watch it because you guys played, you know, you're methodical on offense. Not saying it was a bad thing. And then Syracuse with the zone, and it was just like, this game's gonna be over first off in an hour because it's 28 seconds on the shot clock every time.
Well, 35.
That back then, yeah, well, you're right, it was 35, so it would have been 32.
Yeah, I mean, they got to move that down. I think I would like to see them move that down to even like 28 or 24 even at some point.
I'm cool with that 30. What I want to see them do is the FIBA rule where if there's an offensive rebound, it just resets to like 15.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's not a bad idea. But as playing overseas, it's literally my least favorite rule in basketball history. But
is it because it was so tough to adjust to?
I think I'm jaded towards Europe, and I just hate the fact that they think that they invented basketball and changed our rules. But
oh,
no, it's tough to adjust to too. But it's yeah. I mean, I think it would be good for college basketball for sure.
What was going with your playing in Europe? What was the toughest European rule to adapt to from college or from U.S. rules, obviously?
Travel. Easy.
Travel. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The first game over there, I did a spin move and got called for it. I thought it was an and-one. I was celebrating. I'm looking at the bench. They're like, yeah, you travel. I mean, ain't no fucking travel. Like, dumbass Italian. I mean, I like Italians, but over there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jordan. Oh, dude. All right, let's go on a more positive note now. I think I know the answer to this one. I mean, this one's easy. Best game moment.
I mean, obviously Ohio State was up there. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But honestly, I think Duke might have been up there too, just because, you know, I think watching Trayvon go off like that and just the atmosphere. I remember going up to Team Meal before, and the lines were, I think, maybe even longer than Ohio State at one point. Like, they were around the corner, and that was just rocking, you know. Also, Ohio State, when game day was there, even though we were both trash, and it was like 48-44. It was also, I mean, you know how it was. It was a lot of fun moments at the Kohl Center. But, yeah, probably obviously Ohio State or Duke.
Yeah.
I would say, what's the loudest you've heard the Kohl Center? For both of you, because you guys had years that didn't overlap, obviously.
You can take that one first.
You want me to take that one first? Yeah, I mean, I've seen some really cool videos from the shot I hit, like where they were in the stands, like a kid in the student section, somebody right behind like the first row of seats on the court, like where it's ear piercing. I'd say the loudest place that I've been on records when we were at the Bradley Center against Oregon, but for Kohl Center, I'd say when I hit that shot, I'm trying to think from 2012. State, and I both bench, and I remember like celebrating. And you know how it goes. As a freshman, you know, you caught a break when John got hurt, you were playing more, but
right.
You know, when it's not going your way as a freshman, it's hard. It's sometimes easy to not be as cheerful.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, no matter what I was feeling at that moment, that was like that is I'm cheering as loud as I can moment, because we were taking out number one and you were playing outside your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. honestly, for me, I think a game when I wasn't even playing, they played Pitt when I was
08.
Yeah, 08. No, I'm old. I think it was like 07 or 06 maybe.
And oh, they, yeah, it was before you, right?
Yeah, and I think Pitt was like 2 and we were 7 or vice versa.
Was it
like
the year that Pitt lost in the Elite Eight to Nova, like the LaVance Fields?
You know, I know they had like Aaron Gray.
Aaron Gray, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it might have been that year, but
that was when Orlando caught the alley-oop, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cam and Doe were there, and that's when I knew I wanted to go to Wisconsin. And that place was crazy, and it was an up-tempo game too. It was nuts.
What were your? I don't remember your recruiting. Who did you pick Wisconsin over?
So I had Notre Dame, Penn State, Iowa, Dayton, and Wisconsin Green Bay, which was my first offer.
Wisconsin Green Bay.
Kids' dreams is to play in division. So you get that first offer, and you're like, this is amazing. I just want to play D1. Like, I accept.
Yeah. And even then, like, even Wisconsin, I committed. So I committed before my junior year even started. So I still did it early. But, you know, I just kind of – we had a lot of kids from my high school that went to Wisconsin, some kids I played basketball with that were seniors when I was a freshman. And I just – for some reason, I just idolized Wisconsin before I even knew what the swing was or even really knew who Coach Ryan was too.
So this is like – because we were just talking on, you know, loudest the Kohl Center's ever been. And this can be because it's loud or because they heckle the most, best away arena atmosphere. And give me more than one and explain why. Because I like talking of the different ones and why some are better than the others. I always say playing at Indiana was fun because they're hicks and they're loud and they're crazy about their basketball. Purdue was awesome. Yeah, obviously the Izone and the Breslin Center because we were never able to win there when we were there. Yep. So now you go.
Michigan State for sure. Breslin Center was up there. Purdue I actually hated because remember when they used to have that thing when you would be in there pregame and when there was no one in there and you dribbled the ball and it sounded there's like a bird chirping in there.
It's like a bird squeaking at the top of the arena. It was so weird.
Like, it is dusty, crusty arena. Like, I'm not trying to. And then they always would have, like, some guitarist back there, like the dude. What's that? I was like, you all are corny. And on top of that, they brought that Fresh Prince to Bel Air sign of me and Ryan. So I just didn't like them in general.
So you're just a little salty.
Yeah, I'm just salty. Yeah, you know how I am. I just get, you know, irrational dislike towards certain things. They played that jump around was crazy.
What was that?
When UNC played jump around before.
Oh, yeah.
See that I love playing there. That was pretty fun.
I thought that wasn't a really good atmosphere.
UNC? I went there once to see a game, a UNC Kentucky game, and I wasn't impressed with the Dean Dome atmosphere. It was very much like just a wine and cheese crowd.
Yeah. I think maybe it was just the jump around that got me then because yeah. I was right before, and it was ACC Big Ten Challenge. They had Harrison, Kendall, like it was. So I might have just been over geeked.
When we played at UNLV your junior year, I thought that was crazy loud.
It was. Yes.
Did you play them on campus or at was it Thomas and Mack?
It was Thomas and Mack.
And they had the. Have you been there before?
I haven't. I've been to Thomas and Mack, but not for a UNLV game.
They had to take us in the tunnel because of the fireworks before. They blew off the fireworks and they had like the Rebels chant. That was dope.
Anything else you want to add before I go to the next one?
You know, I think that's a Carver Hawkeye was solid too, actually.
Yeah, they were good.
Indiana wasn't good either when I was there. Like they weren't that good, but it was still loud. Like they would have crowds, but you know.
They're just passionate. So, if they're in the game, they get loud.
Right, right.
Man, these are great questions. I can't wait to get to all these. I don't even know where to go next. I like them all. Did you see any flashes of Frank as a freshman to know that he would turn out the way he did?
So, I'm sure you've gotten this question a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I've got over the years. I always say at Wisconsin. I never would have thought that Frank. I would. If someone asked me, is Frank going to be National Player of the Year? I'd have been like, probably not. But I'm also not surprised that he had the amount of success that he did, just because there's always, like, I mean, if you let anybody else tell it, we're all overachievers. You know, we think that. I mean, I don't think that we think that, but, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what everyone thinks, but that's not necessarily the truth.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, definitely you knew Frank. Like, he always had that nice touch around the basket when he was young. Mm-hmm. He could play, and he was big, but the way he exploded, I think, would be hard to predict for anyone.
And it's the perfect storm. And, like, I've talked with Josh about this. I've talked with you about this. If we don't win that Oregon game, what is that next year's team's goal? Their goal is to get to the Final Four. Frank isn't necessarily have as much hype as he did. Not that he didn't have a good junior year, but he's not in talks for necessarily maybe first round or lottery. There's all that goes into it. So no,
yeah, that's very true. Like, you got to win. And same thing happened with Kemba. I mean, Kemba went on that crazy run. Like, Kemba didn't even win Big East Player of the Year that year.
No, is that Kilpatrick won it that year, right?
No, it was Ben Hansborough. Is Ben Hansborough won Big East Player of the Year, and people forget about that.
Well, then, oh, no, you're right. Shabazz didn't win it either. It was Shabazz won it. Yeah. Same thing. That's when Kilpatrick won it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, like, I think people forget that. But Kemba he played, obviously still played well, but he was so good, especially in tournament times where people, like, I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Gary McGee agrees with you, considering he doesn't have any knees after that crossover.
Yeah, he's still in surgery.
And it's going to be on highlight reels forever and ever and ever.
I feel so bad for that guy.
It's, you know what, I don't, because he shouldn't have been out there acting like that. He should have just tried to stay solid out there.
You know what, whatever guard screamed switch on the screen, he's the one that should have got crossed up. You don't put your center out on not only a point, but a guard like Kemba, who has that sort of ball handling ability. You never do that. It's waiting to happen.
I've done that twice inadvertently, but for different reasons. Like, I got beat backdoor one time, and my teammate got dunked on so hard because of me. But I just laughed because I was like, "Well, oops, I didn't get dunked on," you know.
Yeah, that's how I know on your last episode you was lying about me following you, because I just used to drag you because you know you don't play no defense.
Okay, that's not true at all. Pretty sure last time I saw you, I beat your shit back into your face because you're so slow and old now.
Are you talking about when we had like three drinks and went to the game, went to the KK after watching practice?
Yeah, that time. You're only as good as your last game, Jordan.
That wasn't no game. I was lit.
I'm pretty sure you have to be at least moderately sober for it to count as a game.
Somewhat sober. I think four shots in, trying to act not drunk around some of the boosters.
No, I was like, I got no shame.
Yeah, Ben's counting it as a win still, no matter what.
Yep, I was sober in my mind.
That's how childish we are too. We're out there playing with the ball, knocking the ball on the court in the middle of practice. Go
get it. Honestly, it would have been fun. Like, I would love to, like, we've talked about the TBT, and I've talked to Orlando and Greg and Ryan and Berg. There's a lot of interest if we put together a team. I would love to play the team today, like this year's Wisconsin team, like as we start practicing, and just see like if we would run them or not. What do you think?
Yeah,
no, you guys are too out of shape. It's still there's too many people that haven't played competitively in the most recent year.
Well,
getting down the floor for offense.
Well, and just run 30 kind of shape you're in.
Exactly. You know, I just go balls. Like, I don't get tired. I just kind of run around like a crazy person.
Yeah, we can still put together, like, Doe's still playing. Kirk is still playing.
Yeah, well, they're in.
John. Well, I guess we could use him.
We got some size. We got Berg, Showy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd be all right. Might even play Kentucky, too. Oh, Kentucky away.
I'll give anyone who's currently playing as a whole the edge. Mostly because I'm even more washed up than you two. I'm 30, so I'm even older. I know there's no chance.
I'm not. I still got some years. I'm still a professional basketball player technically, so yeah. I'm not washed up.
That would be a good one, especially if you played them early, before they started gelling as a whole team together. You know what? Early, I might give you guys the edge. I think like the Vegas line early is like old guys -4.5.
Against the current Wisconsin team?
Against the current Wisconsin team.
We would beat them by 25.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, I don't know why.
Everyone's better than people below them.
No, but like it's just such a different – like when you get a bunch of guys who have played professionally and that are older, like you just see the game way differently than you do when you're in college. Wouldn't you agree, Jordan?
Yeah, the game is – I love watching the Badgers still, obviously, and I love the tournament.
Yeah, the pace is definitely still needs to work on, and I think Bobby's got a good suggestion that as we talked about. But I want to know the meanest thing Bo has ever said to you.
he was never that bad to me. You remember how it was. Every class had like one guy that was kind of like teacher's pet.
The whipping boy.
And there was always a whipping boy. I think the meanest thing he ever said to me. Was I think he called me a fairy and asked me if I went to etiquette class.
If what?
And asked me if I go to etiquette class because I dove after the ball, and he said the way I dove after it, like, or maybe not a fairy. I don't want to get him in trouble on here, but so we might have to edit that out. But
fantastic.
He asked me if I went to etiquette class or something, and then kind of mimicked the way I ran after the ball and like tiptoed over there, and I was just like, yeah.
I could see Bo like running like that though.
I could too.
Like that just kind of seems like how he would run. Also because he's just an older guy too. I picture all older guys running like that. But like with his white slick back hair, I could see him kind of running like that.
You're right. Let him tell it though. He'd probably use Usain Bolt.
Was Bo a big like Kersh Andresha up and down type guy? Or was it more, like you said, like the subtle jabs?
I think it was different for each guy. Like, I think he gave some guys, like, I got some subtle jabs, but it was never – John got some subtle jabs. Keaton got some
– whipping.
Keaton got some, what do we call it, politically correct tongue lashings.
Well, there's some stuff like that I wish I could say on this podcast that Bo said to Keaton that I just wouldn't say.
Facts. I will give – I mean, he definitely – there's no question he knows what he's talking about, but it's – yeah, he used to – there's some choice words that we probably can't repeat on it.
When you guys were there, was there – an assistant coach who would kind of play like good cop to his bad cop? Or do they just kind of stay silent?
There was Coach Guard who was
the parrot.
Coach Guard was his running, like his man.
He was his hype man.
Oh my God damn it, Ben. Yeah, God damn it, Ben.
What? Yo, your voice, your Gardo voice was on spot though there too.
Coach Close used to like try and get under his skin. That used to be hilarious. Whenever the scout team was the first team, Coach Close be over like, yeah, get the rat.
Yeah, he'd be fist pumping and shit.
There was not really
just good more cop, bad cop. It was just four different personalities or three different personalities because Coach Guard was just Coach Ryan.
Yeah. It was they had a good mix though. They definitely. Almost like they've been around each other a long time. You could tell that as soon as you walked in a room, for sure.
Oh, goodness. Oh, Coach Close, man. He was so funny.
Yeah, no. I got to hit him up. I haven't seen him in a while.
He's going to be the coach of the TBT team.
Oh, is he?
If we put it all together, yeah. All
right. We need some athletes on the wing, man.
Yeah, that's – I mean, Orlando and Ryan are it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. Get three, four. You know, might need a two. Call Rob. Bring Rob out of retirement.
Last couple questions here. Just go quick on this. What was your feedback after your junior year regarding going pro? I know you don't like this.
So I spoke to my AAU coach is Howard Pulley, and then I had spoke to an agent too, and I was ready to leave. I was gonna go. I had heard like late first to early second, and I was gonna leave. My dad wanted me to graduate college, so that's part of the reason I went back. And then also, obviously, I wanted to go to a Final Four, and you know, I was excited about the guys we had coming back. So that's what I heard, and I was gonna go, and then just kind of change my mind last second, because you know that's too when the rules were different. Like if it was like how it was now, where you can go to the combine and do all that, then I probably would have ended up leaving.
Interesting. Yeah. So you see, you're obviously in favor, and Bobby and I have been on record talking about this, like where we think the combine thing is a great resource for juniors or anyone. If you have a chance to go get evaluated, you go do it. It's for your best interest.
It doesn't make any sense to have it any other way. Like, why not let these kids go figure out if they can make millions of dollars an hour? Why are you trying to?
And the one negative that I've heard from scouts and whatnot is, you know, you can hurt yourself, but it's on you if you hurt yourself. Because you're not conditioning, you know, you're not taking conditioning seriously, and you're not taking the process seriously. You just think you can show up, get an invite to the combine, play, and boom, you're first round talent. It's all the other little things too.
For sure, and I mean, as a prospect or whatever, I would at the end of the day, I think you want to have it as much in your hands as possible.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So last.
I just think, agreeing with what you guys said, I think it just makes sense to sit there, especially if you're on that border of, you know, if you're a lottery pick guy, you know where you are. It's a no-brainer. It's up to you if they'll leave or not. But like you said, right. When you're like the late first round, even if you're like a borderline second round pick, late second round pick, going, okay, well, I know I can at least get drafted, be assigned a team, and go from there, or I'm going back, like, I'm all for it. I'd like to see it even get a little bit more, just because I'm very much pro player than pro like NCAA or anything like that. Like to me, I know it sounds bad. Like I don't care if college coaches have to work more or harder for their job. Like it just kind of comes with the territory.
I mean, you're getting paid millions of dollars, and right. Not take away anything that they do already. But yeah, it's big deal. So.
Yeah, and last Wisconsin-related question. Where do you put Wisconsin basketball as a program on that national spectrum?
Oh, that's hard to answer because obviously I have a bias. Obviously after, you know, when we were – you remember, Scotty, when we were there, it was always how you guys are knocking on the door. We were close a lot, like Sweet 16, then went to the Elite Eight, losing on last second shot. I mean, we were right there a couple games, a couple plays away. But then after you guys go to the Final Four, I think it's hard not to put Wisconsin at least in the top 10 at this point. I mean, especially, and still going to Sweet 16s, what, the last, what has it been, 2 years?
Five straight, six of the last seven.
Five straight, six of the last seven. And yeah, starting with 2011. So, I mean, since Coach Ryan has been there, I think it's hard not to put us in the top 10.
So top 10, I think that's where we've agreed it's at right now, Bobby, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think I had it a little bit lower, maybe like top 15, somewhere in that range.
Oof. I mean, you can make a case for like what – I'm assuming you're putting like the Louisvilles of the world in there. Where do you put like Louisville or Florida?
Yeah, to me, Louisville's top 10. I mean, Florida's top 10. They have two titles. They had, what, four straight Elite Eights, three straight Elite Eights where they lost when they lost to Butler, that run, they had three straight Elite Eights. I had put Florida in there if we're talking about since 2000, 2005, the last 10 years or whatever. Florida, I mean, UConn's one that's a weird one because they have the two titles, but then they also have, like, last year and the year before that. So I'd probably still give UConn maybe the edge just because of the titles. Then the Kentucky, the Kansas, the Carolina, the Dukes. You know, to me, like, Wisconsin is – I'd say they're probably above but right around like Oregon as of late.
What?
Oregon.
Oregon's gotten to a Final Four, got to the Elite Eight. The last couple of years, like Oregon, like they've been a one seed.
Yeah, but think about the sustained success before that that we've had.
Right, I'm saying I put you guys above Oregon. I think Oregon is going to be comparable to Wisconsin.
All right, interesting.
I think that's kind of the path that they're on.
I don't know. I think if they make another Final Four, Wisconsin, in the next 5 years, I think you – or the next 4 to 5 years, you have your answer if they're still, like, a top-level program. Right. Then you got to get – you got to give – I'll say 3 to 4 years. I think if you go five years without knocking on it, then
I don't necessarily I don't necessarily think it's NCAA tournament success because it's the flukiest thing in the world. It's more can you guys be like a top four seed consistently? Like have the regular season success because all it takes is one bad matchup or one bad game in the NCAA tournament and you lose early. I don't necessarily love judging. I say it with both sides of my mouth. I don't love judging team success on the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I would for sure. I think that, you know, consistency has to play a part. Mm-hmm. And like you said, UConn with two titles, yeah, you got to give that to them.
Right, that's where it's weird for me to judge UConn because they have the two titles, but they've been like the most inconsistent program out there.
Like if that's the case, then I think you got to put Ohio State in there. Like, where's Ohio State fall?
Right, like, the last 3 years have been really bad, but they've been a number one overall seed. They've made the title game. They've made another Final Four in 2012. Like, I'd probably put Ohio State right above you guys, but I think you and Ohio State are, like, the same tier. If you're talking the last, like, 10 years.
If you're talking the last 10, I think the only thing that would maybe put Ohio State above us is the NBA talent that they put. But even now, like Frank and Sam and John are in there. Like, right. I don't even know.
Ohio State's had them down last 3 years. But they were number one overall seed in 14.
They were bad in, like, 08.
They're in the title game in 08. That was the Odin year.
No, 08 was my.
Or 07.
07 was a title game. 08 to the NIT, and then 09 they were not. They were. I mean, they went to the tournament. They were all right. That was like ET and them, but they were. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State's had some bad years in between.
Yeah, I would still. I could make an argument that we're. I think way past them at this point because those were three bad years and made the tournament every year and had just as much success in the Big Ten.
But then on the flip side, you talk – I mean, that's why I hate speaking on both sides of my mouth. It's hard to turn down also two Final Fours, a number one overall seed.
Two Final Fours, number one overall seed, number two overall seed when we went the first time.
You guys were never the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, number one overall.
Yeah. Got it. Number that's what one. I'm saying. Like they have that.
Yeah, but what did that – that's – what is that?
What does that really get you if you don't use it?
Oh, they had to play against Brandon Knight's team.
Like, does that like count?
You could do that for everybody, though.
I know, that's why I don't necessarily love basing everything on NCAA tournament, but.
But that's the world we live in, and that's the pinnacle, and that's what you strive for. Whether you believe it or not, Big Ten and regular season and tournament titles, they don't mean as much as the NCAA tournament, no matter what. So you're going to be judged based off how you've done in it.
I know.
So what about like Butler and Michigan State? Where do they fall in?
Michigan State's top 10 team for me, top 10 program. Butler, I wouldn't have above you guys. I'd say Butler's probably like top 20. Because, again, it's hard. Like same thing with like how like Wichita State, they've dominated the conference. Butler's at least now has a couple years of like Big East play.
In the Big East, yeah.
But, you know, how do you judge, you know, like Gonzaga? They're a little bit different. But like Wichita State, when they've dominated like the Missouri Valley, that's clearly a step below some of the other conferences. How do you judge that regular season success versus, you know, like a Big Ten team that has a couple fourth or fifth place finishes, a first place finish, a third place finish, kind of all over the board.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I would say Michigan State's top 10.
Michigan State. I would say Michigan State. Michigan State might be top five, honestly.
They might be. Here's one. What do you think of Michigan as a program?
I love Michigan. I love John Beilein. I think
he might be my favorite coach in the game. I think he's the smartest offensive guy in the game.
He's got this system they got over there. It makes point guard, and not to say that they're not talented. Darius Morris and like, yep, Trey, all those guys are talented. You can go back to Mike Gansby, and Mike Gansby at West Virginia is averaging 14-7, like running that pick and roll, running that offense, you know, finding Pitsnago. Like, he just, point guards there thrive. Like, I remember watching all throughout college and after Manny, all those dudes just getting crazy numbers in that system. Obviously, talent mixed with. I honestly think, you know, we get credited as like a system program a lot. And I honestly think that Michigan system benefits specifically point guards and some bigs more so than maybe like a Wisconsin type style does.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to see the offenses too, because you guys had that swing offense and he runs that. I don't know how it's technically a motion offense. I don't know how else you would really classify it. But I remember just like watching it and breaking, like someone broke it.
It's like a rhythmic motion set.
It's all based on like the read, and then you make the cut or the flare. It's
that leads into something else.
Right. Got that Princeton element in there too, in a little bit, and yep. So got that kind of your professional feel with the ball screens and the way they run ball screens and things like that. So
it's a fun offense.
Where do you have them as a program over the last, let's say, decade?
Ooh.
Because they're another one that's kind of unique with like the ups and downs. They have the championship game.
I would put them in the top 25.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I'm dated because we lost. We beat Michigan. We played Michigan seven times and lost once when I was there. So I'm also like, I don't, you know, when you beat a team so much, it's almost like you lose a certain, I don't want to say respect, but it's just like, you know.
In your mind, they're like little sister in a way.
Yeah, when you go through a schedule, right, you're looking at teams like win, law, maybe not lost, but possible. It's a tough game, whatever.
So,
and I count Michigan.
I'll ask this to both of you. Who's the best program of the last decade? We'll say starting with like the 07-08 year. So 07-08 year through September 12th, 2017, who has been the best program?
What year did Calipari get to Kentucky?
09-10.
Duke.
How many does Duke have?
Two.
They have two, because they have 10 and
15.
Carolina
has two. They also have that third title game.
I think it's got to be. I think when you look at it like that, when you get to those, talking about the best team, your best program,
right,
Kentucky, Carolina, at that point, you got to take just college basketball out of the equation, and you got to look at how many pros they're turning out to. So I would have to say it's either Carolina or Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Duke
has a chance if they win this year.
Yeah, I mean, even if not, when you're kind of talking about what Jordan did in terms of like putting out pros, Duke's put out more pros than Carolina as of late.
Yeah. Carolina, I'm actually surprised, as good as the last two teams. Like, how many pros did they put in this year? Three or?
I mean, Meeks, I don't know how much he'll see of NBA time.
Did he go second round?
I don't know. I don't even think he – did he even get drafted? I don't even know if he got drafted.
Huh. I mean,
Tony Bradley – and that's a crazy thing for them. Like, Tony Bradley was their best prospect this year. He was their, what, third big?
Sixth, seventh man?
Yeah.
I mean, that's reminiscent of, I guess, like Marvin Williams back in the day, too. But he was young, I guess.
But that speaks to the talent, like you're saying, on these teams. Even though they're winning national championships, they're turning out pros that are on their bench.
Facts.
Yeah, I think it's got to be one of those three. I'd probably – man, I want to say Duke, but They've been up and down too in the.
Yeah, they've had some downs, even though they've made the tournament. They just haven't been Duke. They haven't been Duke.
But so is Carolina. Carolina's been an 8 seed.
Does Kentucky lose credit? Does that 2012 team that won the national championship get discredited because of the lack of success that those guys have had in the NBA outside of, obviously, AD?
I don't think so.
How many of those guys are still in the league?
Kid Gilchrist. Darius Miller.
Back.
Miller's but, back, I mean, yeah. Teague's out. And yeah. Lamb's out. Jones. Oh, Jones just left for China.
Terrence Jones out of the league now.
I think he just signed. He signed a 1-year deal out in China.
Wow.
This offseason. I think. I mean, he got offered a ridiculous amount. I'm going to double check. I'm pretty sure he went to China. Obviously, Davis. Kid Gilchrist, who actually had a good year. He's just been hurt. Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. Like, they obviously haven't turned out NBA-wise what
a billion in the NBA.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what's weird is that, like, the 2015 team has turned out well in the NBA, and they haven't. They didn't win it.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember you guys were talking about that the other day, right? Which team was better, the 38-1 or the
2012.
Yeah, Jones got a $2 million deal to play in China, which is more than the deal he would have gotten in the NBA.
So you'd have to make what, like four, probably 3.54 to get the same value.
Well, he would have gotten 1.7 in the NBA. He took 2 in China.
That's all he. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I did pre-draft with all those guys except AD, and it's shocking to me that. Pretty much all of them are out of the league.
Dispersed. Yes.
It just shows you how crazy the NBA can be, man.
Crazy.
Gosh, Jordan, you're perfect on my segues here. Leading to my next question, Riggs and I talk about the LeBron-MJ debate and just in general NBA, like, comparisons, player to player, who's better, who's this. Where do you stand on LeBron-MJ?
LeBron... I was actually talking to Evan Turner about this, and he's from Chicago, right? And LeBron to me is better. But he put it, LeBron is the greatest. I mean, sorry, Michael is the greatest, and LeBron is the best of all time. It's going to be, and I guess what he meant by that, or LeBron, and I agreed with him, LeBron is probably the most talented, best player that we're maybe ever going to see.
Yeah, but it's just hard to imagine a guy that's the size of Karl Malone. Doing right. What LeBron does. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's also hard to imagine. Even if LeBron wins 6 titles, I don't think that he can match the aura of Michael Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, it'd always be held against him, too, with, you know, going to Miami, losing to – what really killed him was the series that he lost to the Mavericks the first year in Miami.
Yep.
Like, you could understand, like, the loss to the Spurs when he was out the first time with the Cavs, because that roster was dog shit besides him.
Terrible.
And then, even, when they lost to the Spurs at the Heat, like, the Spurs were – I think people kind of discredit how good the Spurs were.
Well, and you got Gary Neal and Danny Green shooting, like, 55% from three. Like, those guys
would
do that
again. What is Gary Neal doing these days?
Exactly. Like, As good as shooters as they are, that was an unsustainable thing that they did against the
Spurs. He's currently wiping down his box with his ring inside it, making sure it's very clean.
Well, I'm sure he got paid.
Or he's paying someone to do that.
Yeah. Definitely the Mavs series.
All I know is if you don't think LeBron and Jordan are the two best players to ever play basketball, like, you're just a moron. Like, I don't want to hear anyone else. I don't want to hear – like. You can argue back and forth between these two. I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer, but if you say anybody else besides these two, you're strictly hating LeBron because of his personality.
Yeah, it was funny how quick people were like, oh, LeBron or KD, LeBron or KD. I'm like, oh my God, stop. The narrative is best of all time, not just because he got hot for a year.
Right. I mean, KD.
Not that he's not amazing. I've said that wrong because he's obviously been an all-star and one of the best players in the league, but he's not LeBron.
If KD from a talent perspective, I think could get in that conversation, but KD just, he seems like I don't know. There's just something off. As good as he is, like, I can't imagine why you would want to go join the Warriors. Like, you should have beat them. Like, I just can't imagine that as a basketball player.
So you're telling me if you were him, you wouldn't have done that?
No chance. They should have beat the, I honestly think he left because he was more worried about LeBron than the Warriors.
Well, I think he knew his only way to a title was with the Warriors. Like, he's not gonna. I think it was more the fact that he had to beat the Warriors and LeBron instead of just beating LeBron.
See, and I think that it was solely about LeBron. I think he was like, oh, I could beat the Warriors, but damn, if I get past them, I gotta go through him and Kyle. Like, I just didn't think he saw that happening.
Yeah, God, I just wish the Thunder at some point would have had a wing.
Man, call
besides,
me.
Besides, like, Andre Roberson. And, like, Kyle Martin sucked when he was there.
Call me a sellout, but I would have done the exact same thing as KD.
I just can't, like.
I don't knock him for it. I probably would have done the same, but I completely understand why he did. Like, you play out your contract, still made a shit ton of money, go win a title.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't, like, he's the second best player in the world, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think that's a debate.
Is he arguably maybe the best scorer that we've ever seen? From a skill perspective. Like,
yeah.
He's a 11-2 guard, 7-foot 2 guard.
Right. Yeah, probably. When you factor in that stuff, yeah, for sure.
Would you say that Russell Westbrook is the most entertaining player right now in basketball?
Entertaining?
Right now, yes. Only because LeBron is 32.
You saying who would I want to go see most?
Mm-hmm.
I'd still rather go see, like, KD or Kyrie more than Russell Westbrook.
Really? Like, I'm watching, like, the Lifetime videos.
Westbrook than Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm watching the Lifetime videos of these guys playing pickup. And, like, yeah, it's cool and all, they're out there. But I just love that I see Westbrook flying through the lane for dunks. Like, I love that. I love how, like, crazy he is.
I love how Kyrie is – and I don't think Kyrie will win a lot as the best player on his team, but – or at least not meaningful wins. But at the same time, watching Kyrie play basketball is, like, he got game montage. This dude is the smoothest. I don't even know. I mean, obviously, he could probably dunk. But I really don't know if he can dunk. And he's probably the best, maybe the best finisher.
Finishing. His finishing is like a wizard.
Yeah, he's the best layup maker in the NBA.
And just in an isolation situation, just him with, like, it's literally cliche, like, poetry,
right?
Poetic basketball watching Kyrie play.
I mean, he's a top five scorer / offensive player in the NBA right now. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And that's without even playing, I don't think he necessarily plays like a winning brand of basketball in today's NBA.
Yeah. But an entertaining and fun one to watch, nonetheless.
It is. Like, when he...
I love it. Dude, I'm on your team here. Like, there's something about him honestly, it's when he finishes with his left hand. Like, the way he finishes with his left hand is crazy. It doesn't make any sense how it always goes in. Like, he doesn't get the roll not to go in. The roll always goes in.
Right. And I can't.
Where do you rank him out of point guards right now? Everything taken into consideration.
Man.
This year. Going into this year, however you want to phrase it.
Guards right now.
Not if you... What I'm saying, are we talking about, like, entertainment?
No. Like, who are the best point guards?
Okay.
You have 1 year.
Yeah.
You have 1 year. It doesn't matter. You know, it's only 1 year, then everything disappears. Who are you – like, you're drafting a big board of point guards. Where
right
does
now,
he fall?
Today, Kyrie, I would go – well, see, okay, I would go Steph as one just because he's two-time MVP and last year title, whatever. I would still go I'll go Westbrook two.
Okay. Harden.
Is Harden a point guard?
I considered him a point guard, yeah.
Okay. All right, Harden's three then. Harden's three. I'm going to put John Wall at four.
All right. I had him at five. I can see that.
I'm going to put John Wall at four. And then and for me, I'm going to put for just a three-way tie, whoever you want, because anyway, you could put Kyrie, Dame, and CP.
CP3.
Oh, see, to me, CP's way undervalued there.
So we had a debate about this, and I had Kyrie over CP, and so did our listeners.
Well, it's because Wisconsin fans terrorized they monetize or monopolize the Twitter feed whenever there's a vote, and they see your name versus my name.
It's a tough word.
Yeah, I would. To me, CP, I'd probably put. I might put Paul. Third or fourth for sure. Yeah, I'd probably put him fourth for sure. I might still have him behind Harden, all things considered. For
he's
one
just,
year.
I don't want to, because he's a dog, but it's just, it's tough. It's tough on it.
That he hasn't had that, like, signature, like, series that he's won or he's the finals.
Finals, like, and I love CP. But I also think that the point guard position in the NBA is one of the most, like, overvalued positions in all of sports.
Really?
Just the hype around the point guard, and point guards, they don't win. Like, as a bet, Steph, how many point guards have won as the best player on their team in NBA history? Three?
What
about Magic?
I would say you got Magic, you got Isaiah Thomas. Magic,
Isaiah, and who else? Steph?
Curry. Chauncey Billups was probably the best player on that team.
No way, Rip Hamilton was the best player on that team.
I'd be willing to listen to that argument, but Billups.
I would still say Billups was the most important player too.
We got so me and John got in this argument at Andy's thing a couple of years ago, and he called Tayshaun and asked who was the best player on that team. Even Tayshaun was like, Rip was the best player on that team.
Man, I wish Tayshaun played 5 to 7 years later. He's made for the NBA right now.
Crazy.
He's made for the NBA right now.
He was made for the NBA then, so that says a lot.
I know. Like, he's one of those, like, he just – I'm trying to think, like, other champions, champion point guards who are the best players. That's a good question. I'd have to, like,
All the Spurs championships, like was Parker ever the best player?
He won the finals MVP in 07, but he wasn't.
He dominated that Cleveland series, but – I mean, I don't think he was ever better than Duncan. He was just better than Duncan that series.
Yeah. And he dominated Daniel Gibson.
Well, yeah.
Who?
Booby.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Who?
All right, so here's another question for you. I asked Ben this before. You're going through the recruiting process again now.
Yep.
Two ways to look at it. One, you're a five-star recruit. The other one is your just who you were coming out of high school. You can't go to Wisconsin. What coach/school do you want to go play for?
Beeline in Michigan.
Either way?
Beeline, yeah. I mean, he's put 1, 2, 3.
He's the best talent developer. One of the best talent developers in the country.
How many he's had? Every point guard that's played for him at Michigan has played in the NBA, correct? Or?
Yeah, and Walton got, a two-way contract?
And Derek Walton. And Derek Walton, I mean, I don't want to say he was the best one, but I was kind of surprised that he didn't get more of a shot, I guess, on draft night, just considering what – I mean, I didn't watch him a ton, but when I did watch him, he was impressive to me.
It's the last 2 months.
It's one of those things, Jordan, for me, like kind of where you said, like when you pick out Michigan on the schedule, you're, I don't really worry about them.
Right.
But, like – When I was a senior, Derek Walton was a freshman. And you know how our system is. Like, you know, you guard some of these people and you guard them from the free throw line. Like, Derek Walton was one of those guys that you didn't even guard because he, like, couldn't even shoot. So, like, I have this stigma in my head that Derek Walton isn't as good as he is, even though he's put up huge numbers. He's averaging, like, 27-5 in the month of February. But, like, so it's hard for me to, like, look at it and be like, yeah, he's as good as the Trey Burks and all that.
What did he shoot from three?
As a freshman?
Oh, like, I guess this year in the past.
No, this year he was like 40-ish, 38 probably.
You're talking about when you were – okay, when you were guarding him, okay.
Yeah, so it's just like – it's like a stigma. I'm like, oh, Derek Wall, nah.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up his – he shot –
Three-point stats.
He shot 41% as a freshman, then went 35, 39, 42. So he's a career 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. He's, I mean, when I saw him, he was making shots too. So I guess I like Derek Walton a lot. I think that he'd be.
No, I do too. I was just like making a statement that like it's hard to like get out of the stigma of what you remember people as,
yeah,
or
for
teams
sure.
as.
For sure. I think there's a lot of Big Ten guys though who didn't get a great shake for whatever reason at the NBA. Because I think part of that is the stigma of the Big Ten to a degree.
Uh-huh.
Well, even look at the Big Ten last year and this year. Like last year there just weren't any NBA players.
Yeah.
At least expected. Yeah. Obviously, a couple people worked out, like Swanigan and Walton got the two-way contract, and Mo Wagner seems like he's going to be an NBA player, even though he's coming back to school for a year. There's just not like. Miles Bridges obviously is one, but there just didn't seem to be that. You know, you look at like the ACC and there's 20 guys that are projected to go in the NBA draft.
Right. I think, well, now I guess I say that in reference to when I was playing. Like, we had guys like Dimitri McKamey and even like John Cherna. Like, we had a ton of guys. Even guys that are in the league, like John. I think we always make a joke if John's name was John Lurskovich or something like that, he probably would have been a lottery pick. I mean,
it's a fair point.
Yeah, so it's I don't know why that is or for whatever reason. Bronson got a two-way contract though, didn't he?
Yeah, with Milwaukee.
Yep. So Nigel got a partial guarantee with the Knicks.
Did he? Good for him. Actually, I saw that about Nigel on Twitter. Yeah, that's good. Hopefully, I think Nigel's a solid guy. If he can develop his jump shot, his range, I think he's a solid.
He's a two-way player. Like he's dynamic. You can do a lot with a guy like that.
Speaking of the two-way contracts, you obviously played overseas. If you were coming out and had either an overseas offer or a two-way contract offer, do you take the two-way contract?
Two-way, no question.
No questions.
Without hesitation. There's no. I'm not even thinking about it.
And that's just to, A, stay in America, or
well,
what's
and
the reasoning?
It's overseas, if you're a rookie, if you're making $150 your rookie year, then you're doing good, right?
Okay. So the money's comparable enough to not sway you out to,
right.
to Europe, it's, right?
Right, and I'm a bet on myself. So if you're telling me I'm getting 75 guaranteed with the possibility at 275 before taxes, I'm not thinking twice about that. And obviously, being at home with the chance to play in the NBA, it's no-brainer.
Right. Easy.
But, no, I mean, if you're coming out and, like, if you're, I don't know, maybe you're making, like, $300 in Europe, tax-free, all that, then it's another choice. But I think I still would even take the two-way.
Right. Unless it's the Knicks. Then you always go overseas.
You know what? I always coming out. I did not. I worked out there, and I did not want to play for the Knicks at all for an illegitimate reason. Like
that's
I was
smart decision.
In my head, I was like, I'm Anthony Davis, and if I'm about to call the Knicks and tell them don't pick me.
Bobby's a tortured Knicks fan, so
such a
that's where all this comes from.
You know what? I don't feel bad for New York fans in general, just because one, you're from the New York area or surrounding whatever, and the Giants have won. And
yes, I have seen two Super Bowls.
LeBron.
All right, you got anything else to add, Jordan?
You know. I think I don't, but, oh, other than the fact that you guys little commentary about me being cheap on the last last segment.
Are cheap, dude. You are cheap, cheap, cheap. So me, Josh, and Jordan were on a text. Josh and I both agree that Jordan's the biggest hack we've ever played against. Here's another thing I want to add real quick. In film with Coach Ryan, Coach Ryan used to tell Jordan, he'd be like, see how you're low to the ground here and you grabbed him here? Like, you can get away with it when you're low to the ground. But they called an offensive foul when you were standing up and they could see that your arm was grabbing him. So, like, there's vivid, like, conversations.
What is this in, like, the Ben tapes? When was this set? You got, like, recorded tape from film? That never happened.
All right. Well, I will bring the next Badger on this podcast, and they will totally back me up.
Yeah,
and that is our interview with Jordan Taylor.
I am skilled in hand-to-hand combat. My hands were like Floyd's. Like, let's be real. So, you know, I'm quick with it. I get away with it. Not cheap, though.
And then
you used to just back up when you play defense. So I just, and then every time I shoot it, you and Fahey would yell off. So I had to torch up. And then I would get mad because you would try and yell off. That's how it was.
Well, again, thank you, Jordan Taylor, for your interview on the Fundamentally Sound podcast.
All right. So that was our interview with Jordan Taylor, best friend of Ben Brust and another former Wisconsin basketball player, although I don't know, will that upset Josh if I call him your best friend?
Yeah, they all are. Josh Jordan and I, like, we used to shoot, like, in this stupid drill together. We played Mario Kart together. Like,
who was your Mario Kart player?
We all created our own Miis.
Oh, so you all, that doesn't count.
No, like, we
if
had
you're not
teams
playing on N64,
and, like,
get the fuck out of here.
No, I mean, like, obviously I like N64, but the ability to have, like, the Wii wheels and, like, create your characters, it just created this whole, like, rivalry. We had tiers. There was tier one where, like, if you were in tier two, you had to race your way out of tier two to be with me and Josh in tier one because we were the clear cut. Like, it was insane to have, like, that much into Mario Kart. But, I mean, as you know, like, in your college, you find times to do this stupid shit.
Yeah, I once my one roommate and I in college once took like a week off of class where we played NBA Jam on Sega against each other. You had to play with every team once, and we had like a running tally of records.
That's fantastic.
Like, play for like a case of beer or something like that, a bottle of bourbon, something along those lines.
That's fantastic.
We played so much that Sega broke. Like, it overheated. We could never play it again.
Well, that's sad because that's kind of hard to find.
It was very hard to find, especially in 2008-09. It was my senior year when I lived on Park Ave in Lexington. Shout out Park Ave. But that was Jordan. I thought it was cool talking to him. Obviously, you know him for a while. Wisconsin fans have been clamoring to get one of your former teammates on. Obviously, Wisconsin fans love hearing about Wisconsin days. Obviously, we got a little bit off the rails, as we tend to do, talking about point guard rankings and what school would you rather go to. And
That's my fault in a way, but just because I know Jordan, like, loves this stuff and, like, loves debating. And not that we were debating, but, like, just having an opinion. So I knew he'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, you know, it's like talking, like, what's the national perspective of Wisconsin from Wisconsin people and from not Wisconsin, you know, from not a Wisconsin guy, obviously.
Yeah, and thinking about that interview, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, even if I didn't know anything about this would be interesting stuff to me. Like, I think we need to get another former player on from a different school to see, like, the parallels and, like, the similarities, differences. So I think that might be next on our list of guests other than conference previews.
Yeah, so I want to take a quick moment before we get into our segments ending here. But to lay out for everybody kind of the plan going forward, because it is September 12th, meaning we are 1 month and 1 day away from Midnight Madness. That starts on October 13th. Obviously, it's not necessarily at midnight, whatever you call it. I know it's called Big Blue Madness. I know it's called Spartan Madness, you know, everything under the sun. Midnight Madness, it's what it's called. I don't care what school you're from, I'm calling it Midnight Madness. So obviously leading into that, and then the first tip for the season is November 10th. People have been asking us about previews. The plan going forward is going to be episodes dedicated to the Power Six conferences with a guest from each conference, whether it is a media member, a former player, a current player if we get lucky enough, or a coach, former, current, assistant, head coach, someone associated with the conference to break down. And we might combine two conferences, but we're going to plan on doing that, and then there'll be a mid-major preview, and there will be a preview for the AAC and A-10. That will be done together for sure. So those are going to start probably at the end of the month here. And then obviously we'll do a national
preview. In a couple weeks. Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and then obviously we'll do a national preview, kind of season preview for top 25 rankings, All-America teams, that sort of stuff that people want to hear from a national landscape. So be on the lookout for that. I know we've gotten a handful of questions about, you know, what do you think of Team X in the conference this year? We're going to address all those as conference previews come up. And again, the plan is to do that with a guest from each conference to kind of provide a more in-depth look for a conference that people that person is wildly familiar with. So again, just keep an eye out for that. So a little State of the Union there with that. But let's get into it. Segment number two of this.
Segment number two, and I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling a little bit hungover. I don't know. Do you get bad hangovers?
Yeah, I'm 30.
You're 30, that's right. We've talked about how when you go out, it's usually like you do once a month probably, where you go into the 2, 3 a.m.s, and then you're just feeling miserable the next day. And you got yard work to do now.
Yeah, I have to cut my grass this week.
You got yard work, so like that's going to be normally on a Sunday, I'm sure.
No.
Sundays are for the yard.
No.
Sundays are for yard work.
Sundays are for smoking wings and drinking beer and watching football.
Well, whenever you get your yard work done, and whenever I'm feeling hungover, that gives you a pep step to get whatever you need to get done the next day. Is Water Joe. Again, Water Joe is your substitute for the coffees, the waters, all the things that are going to have sugars and extra nutrients that are not needed for your body. And that's why I'm all about Water Joe. Zero cals, pep in the step. It tastes good. It tastes like good water. It's almost like Fiji water with a little pep in your step. I love it.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth getting, absolutely worth checking out. You can check them out and find where you can get Water Joe and buy some Water Joe. Go to waterjoe.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, /get-Joe. Again, waterjoe.com/get-Joe, J-O-E. Not only can you buy water, they have some pretty dope clothes on their site too. Or the cornhole set. You want to get a casual cornhole set, wear a quarter zip and get a little case of Water Joe. You can get it all right there.
Having the party, just knowing the next day you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just because that bag set is reminding you that you're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're an awesome company. Their product's
awesome. Gear is fantastic. The gear is my favorite.
Unreal.
Comfy, looks good. Water Joe USA on Twitter,
on Instagram,
and this this episode and this you want to go? One
yeah.
of these.
Yeah, you want me to start?
I want you to start.
All right. So again, Fouled Out, presented by Water Joe. If you missed last episode, Fouled Out is a new segment we're going to do where each of us asks the other five questions. It could be anything life-related. It can be anything food-related. It can be anything basketball-related.
Movies. I don't care. Cars.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Fans can, you know, reach out. We'll put it on Twitter. We may take a fan question or two and throw it in for one or the other person. So I'll start. You wore number one your entire life. number one was if number one was retired at Wisconsin, what number are you wearing?
If number one was retired at Wisconsin, and even before that, in high school, growing up, I was number 22 in soccer. I know that's your number. I liked 22, but I think I would be number four. I like the number four. J.J. Redick was number four. There's just something about that number that I like. It would have been four.
That makes sense. I can see that. Four is not a bad number.
It's not a bad number. Do I look like a four?
Yeah, because you're a white shooter. And when you think four, you think J.J. Redick.
The only bad part about picking four is what I would have always been under. Like, not that I was, like, under the shadow of J.J. Redick, but, like, you always are going to get that comparison just because you're wearing, oh, Redick used to wear four. He's a white shooter. You know what I mean? I had a little bit of my own identity with one.
Right.
Beer of choice. Go.
All right, so locally, like if I'm just – I've been on a sour beer kick lately. So if I am just going to get like a six-pack, let's just say it's not going to be like an all-day thing. I'm just going to get a six-pack. There's a brewery in Cincinnati called Urban Artifact who makes a bunch of sour beers. I will go get their beer. I don't care what beer they have. They have my favorite beer.
Okay, well then I was going for a little more simple. Bud Light, Miller Lite.
Bud Light. I hate Miller Lite.
Okay, I'm with you there. I can only drink Bud Light. I'll drink Miller if I absolutely have to, but Bud Light just goes down so much more smoother.
Right, but I'm still in heart a Natty. I'm still a Natty Light guy at heart.
Okay, that's disgusting. All right, next.
we talked about it a little bit earlier with Mario Kart and video games. PS4 or Xbox?
Unfortunately, I've had to grow up. Even though I miss playing video games, I don't even know anymore. All I do know is that I played Xbox and then Xbox 360. But I think I like PS.
You can't play video games.
I said I've grown up.
Well,
I have grown up. I think I've grown up. I'm trying to grow up. So Xbox and Xbox 360, but I think I've played PS4 and I like it better now.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's the right answer.
My next question for you would be Ferrari or Lamborghini?
So I am not a car guy. Like I'm so clueless when it comes to cars. I'm just saying, I don't even know. Like I'll go Ferrari just because I've always heard. I don't know. I'll just go Ferrari because I don't know what else.
I would go Ferrari over Lambo just because I don't – there's something about the wide body and the shape of the Lambo that kind of bothers me, and the Ferrari's just lighter and a little faster because of that. It also depends on the type of car, but I won't get into that now.
Yeah, sure.
My next question for you is Chris Paul in his prime or John Wall in his prime?
Well, you skipped me. I have to ask you now.
Well, I already asked mine, so just all do right. Two in a row.
Chris Paul in his prime or John Wall in his prime? Chris Paul.
Because you're a big CP3 guy.
I think
you're that big.
I mean, to me, it's not close. It's like how good Chris Paul is. The thing is, like, John Wall's like just starting to hit his prime too.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm gonna go back to back food questions here. So I'm gonna ask two and one because you went back to back there. How do you like your steak cooked?
I like my steak cooked. Either medium rare or medium. So like I'm not going to be mad if it comes out medium, but I like it actually a little bit more than medium or a little less than medium. I usually call that medium plus is what they call it in between medium rare and medium. What about you?
I am medium rare. I can eat it rare though, or I can eat it medium, but medium rare is the bread and butter.
It's just such a shame when people like do medium well and well. I'm like,
my wife does well and it drives me insane.
What is she eating? Does it taste like anything?
I don't know. I refuse to try it.
Oh,
but it's
so bad for her.
Yeah. I yell at her every time. Blue cheese or ranch with your wings?
Ranch. I literally
such the wrong decision.
No, it's such the right decision. I douse my food in ranch. Have you ever done pizza with ranch? Pizza with ranch is amazing.
I didn't ask.
Wings with ranch is amazing.
Wings with
carrots and ranch. Celery and ranch. Blue cheese is disgusting.
You're disgusting. All right, you're up.
You're disgusting. All right, Dumb and Dumber or Old School?
This is honestly the question I struggled with the most. Like,
I thought it was a good one.
This is probably,
and they're different in their own way.
Right. This is probably number one and two of my favorite comedies. Man, this is tough. I'm gonna lean Dumb and Dumber. Strictly because I think it holds a little. Like, I think I have like a little bit better memories with Dumb and Dumber because it's just been 100%. Around longer. But man, that was the toughest question you've asked.
Not even that about it being around longer. Like, because I've seen both a lot, obviously, but because I know Dumb and Dumber more, it obviously has more of an impact and more quotable lines. Not that Old School doesn't, but just more because I remember it. They make more impact.
Yeah, because like Dumb and Dumber came out when I was like starting to like watch like R-rated movies, PG-13 rated movies on a more consistent basis, and everything like that. And I just remember like being in grade school and into like junior high where you saw sleepovers and whatnot, and just like we watched Dumb and Dumber every week.
It doesn't get old.
It really old doesn't. School, like, Old School doesn't get old either.
True.
All right, so my last question for you. Wisconsin loses. Like, a genie pops up and says, listen, Wisconsin's going to make the title game in basketball, but they lose it every year for the next 5 years. Who do you want them to lose to? You get to pick what team.
I think you could guess my answer to this. I was trying to think of a different team, too.
Is it going to be Butler? That was my guess.
Yeah, it's going to be Butler, even though, like, it's definitely Butler right now because LaValle Jordan. Right. But if it was Holtman, I'd probably be like, you know what? Let me think about this. Definitely not Iowa.
Shocking.
Definitely not Michigan State. I just don't want – like, no Big Ten teams. I would never pick a other Big Ten team.
I assume that.
Which is that I'm like, you know what, that guy. And I'm going to go with Val at Butler.
Okay. I didn't know if maybe you would go with like a – I didn't know if maybe you go with a blue blood just to be like, I want to see greatness type thing. Or if you would go.
No way. More. No way.
But
no
way. You can see why someone would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone would be like, I want to see a dynasty. I want to see it. I think that'd be terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be terrible for college basketball.
Would it change? What if it was just 1 year?
If a team won like three titles in like 6 years, I think that's okay. But like, if you win like three in a row, that's gonna make everyone hate watching the tournament.
What if it changes? What if it's just 1 year?
1 year, Butler, 100%.
Because it still brings them up to the national landscape a little bit better.
Correct.
I didn't know.
And they repeated what they've done in the Big East Conference.
Right. And I was trying to think if maybe you would switch to like a coach that needs one to like help his image, whether it's Sean Miller or Tony Bennett or even
you know what? That's a good one. I actually am rooting for Arizona. I kind of like Sean Miller and what he's done in Arizona. Big Tony Bennett fan. He's just a really good person and is doing some good things in Virginia, but obviously hasn't been able to make it out. But I'm still going with Val.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So my last question here, and we're going to bring this up next time we talk too, because I love talking about this. So I saw a picture on Instagram of that picture that were in the Lifetime. Did you see the highlights?
No, I didn't. So what's the exact question?
So I took 10 guys and I split them up into two teams and you got to pick your team.
Okay, so it's – if I'm reading this right, it's Enes Kanter and James Harden on one team?
No.
Oh, it's
there's five guys.
Teams. Oh, okay. Two I thought teams, it was yep. – for some reason I was reading it as like two per team because I think like the way I looked at it, it looked like each team sent two guys there. So it's Kanter, Harden, Chris Paul, Oladipo, and Dejounte Jones, or Carmelo, Westbrook, JaVale McGee – Amon Shumpert and Tim Hardaway. Huh. That's tough.
Isn't it? I thought it would be tough.
I'm inclined to lean the first way because Harden CP, like, you have two of the top three players on the roster. It's, oh man, that's really tough. I'm going to lean.
But it's Hoodie Mello.
Oh, it's Hoodie Mello. That makes a difference.
It's a huge difference.
I still might lean team one.
I'll take Hoodie Mello over your bum squad all day.
I mean, that's close, though.
It's close. I made it close on purpose.
But the matchup I'm looking at is, so you have Westbrook and
Harden.
Paul against each other.
Harden, Westbrook and Paul, yeah.
Harden and Hardaway against each other.
I think Shumpert would guard Harden.
I mean, that's fine. I'll still take Harden.
You know what I mean, though. Like, right, for teams-wise, right. It's going to be a better matchup for them.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would still lean team one. But I think, like, the spread would be within 5 points.
So your team one. I'm taking team two just because of Hoodie Mello.
Yeah, I mean, that almost swayed me, honestly.
All right, that is the segment of Fouled Out presented by Water Joe. I got nothing else for today. Obviously, as always, we ask our listeners who we do love, rate, subscribe, and review. It helps us in every way possible you can imagine. Gaining new sponsors, getting up the ranks of the charts. Appreciate all the questions we've been getting. We've got some good plans and previews. We're getting closer to college basketball. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Bobby?
No, I mean, follow the show at Fundamentally SD. Again, we ask for feedback. We take it seriously. If you guys only knew how much Ben and I text each other about the show and what we can do to improve. So we actually take all that into consideration. You know, if you have any suggestions for topics, for advertisers, for segments, anything, we listen and we take it seriously. So feel free to reach out to us. You can reach out on the show. You can DM us on Twitter. I think we're going to set up an email, right? Or we have an email set up. We should get that going. But we're on Instagram. So there's multiple ways to reach out. Just know that when you guys do suggest something, we honestly take it as serious as possible.